One of the things that amazes me about my God is that he seldom ever, if ever, does things the way I expect him to. You ever notice that? You ever notice that there are things that, for instance, when Sharon and I, we were looking at buying a house, building a house in a gated community on the south side of Lakeland, and the Holy Spirit just threw up a roadblock and said, "That ain't what I got for you." And so I started praying. I said, "Lord, I believe I'm where you want me, but if I'm not, I want you to move me." I'll tell you something, don't pray that unless you mean it. I think the Lord thought I meant it more than I really meant it. Amen. But he moved me. And one step after another, led us to Landmark Baptist College, led us to Cleveland Heights to be an assistant pastor while we were there, and then graduated, then went on staff to at Landmark Baptist College. I never saw Missouri coming. But when I got out there, one of the first things that people I meet at the church that we were working with to start the church was a guy named Jeff Brown. And Brother Jeff was just a blessing. He's still a blessing to me. But he said, "I've got, you're from Lakeland, Florida, huh?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I've got an uncle that lives there named Herman Deaton." He wanted to know. He said, "Do you know him?" Now, there are a lot of people in Lakeland. But I had served on the same deacon board with Herman Deaton. Now, I want you to know, that's God. You know, that's my God that confirmed to me, "Hey, boy, you're right where you're supposed to be." You know, when you got those times, those duh moments, hey, you got those times when God says, "Hey, good boy. Attaboy, you're right where I want you." And he did that so many times. It took a lot of those kind of things to get this boy into Missouri. You know that? But the truth is, our God is good. He's great. And he also knows what it takes to put us in his will. No matter what's going on, no matter what your problems are, what the crisis is in your life, no matter what you're struggling against, he knows it, he cares, and he's got a solution. Just like we sang a while ago, but what you got to do, tell it to Jesus.
Amen.
Here in this particular passage, this is an amazing event or amazing story here as far as some verses here that really help us if we'll let them. Let's stand in honor of the word of God. I want to start here with verse 1, and we'll read old 7 or 8 verses maybe. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, and a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee." Look at verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the righteous forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for your many blessings. And Lord, I can't thank you enough that you don't do things my way, but you do things right. You do things perfect. Can't be improved on. And Lord, I pray for you to teach us tonight. Lord, teach us something special about the Word of God and the Son of God. And Lord, we need your Spirit of God to be in our midst, to teach and to speak and to touch each heart. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Keep the preacher out of your way and in your will. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage and it says, verse 1, he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Now, what are you supposed to buy with? I want you to understand something. Salvation is not for people that trust in their money. That bread of life comes free. You and I can receive it freely. But hey, there are a lot of people that have money and they're going to trust their money and they're going to do with their money. I like what it says in verse 2. It says, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? Have you ever noticed how many people are spending money and what they have? I mean, it amazes me. And now, don't take offense if you're one of these that lines up at the store for the latest gadget or thing. But I just never, there was nothing I ever desired to buy that I was willing to spend the night in a parking lot for. No tickets. No person. Now, if Jesus showed up, I'd be there, okay? But anybody less than that, probably not. But it amazes me that when we got Christmas a few months away, watch what happens on Black Friday. They're going to be lined up on Tuesday for something that they're going to sell on Thursday. This is a crazy world we live in. People have their priorities so mixed up and so topsy-turvy, it is crazy. And we've got a world, we're in a world right now that doesn't know right from wrong, doesn't know good from bad. Isaiah chapter 5 tells us there was coming a day where evil's going to be called good and good going to be called evil, and we're there. We're seeing it take place. I saw a sign on the internet. It had a restroom, and it was a transgender restroom. You could be male, you could be female. Had the woman with the dress on, the outline of, and then it had one in the middle that had the one side had a dress, and the other side was a man. Now I want to tell you something. That's ridiculous. If you'd ever told me that my country would go this far, this quick, that I'd ever see it, I'd have said you were nuts. That's right. But we've gone in a crazy direction. And I want to tell you, it's our fault. Not necessarily us collectively as a church, but us Christians in general, because we've allowed what happened when the homosexuals came out of the closet, the Christians went in. So many Christians aren't willing to stand up and say, hey, that's wrong. Well, guess what? Wrong's wrong. The Bible's right. God's always going to be right. I'm glad they've got it set up for conservatives to be right, because I like being right, amen? But the truth is, if you're left, Jesus comes back, you're going to be left.
That's right.
If you're not saved. And I got to wonder about so many people in our world today, they actually do not understand. They don't understand why it's wrong for two men to marry. They don't understand why it's wrong for two women to marry. What's coming next? Oh, you'll have multiple partners wanting to marry. You'll have animals that they're going to want to marry. Hey, if you don't draw the line in the sand and say, that's wrong. If you move that line, it wavers at all, you got to keep moving it. And that's what they're doing. They're keep moving the line. Hey, the Bible tells us clear that there's things that this world doesn't understand. But look at what it says in verse 3. It says, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. What's wrong with the world? They don't want to come to Jesus. They don't want to listen to the Word of God. Their pride won't let them admit they're wrong and God's right. And that's a sad place. When people get to a point where their pride comes in their way, gets in their way, and will not allow them to admit that they need Jesus, that's a price that they're going to pay for eternity. But look on, it says, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. But look at verse 6. And this is basically 6, 7, and 8, 6 through 9, actually, where I want to focus. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. There are a lot of people that are out there, and they say that, I'm going to get saved whenever I feel like it. You cannot count on that. Number one, you might die in a car wreck. We had a man that I used to sing with. His grandson, 21-year-old grandson, was riding his motorcycle. A UPS truck pulled out in front of him. And he died. 21 years old. You don't know how long you're going to be. We were in church and on a Wednesday night. This was years ago. And one of our youth pastor was preaching. And he said, he was talking to the youth. And he said, you guys don't know who might not wake up in the morning. You better get saved. You know, one of the 16-year-old boys in that service, he didn't wake up the next morning. Fortunately, he was saved. I got a chance to lead his son or his brother to Christ after that. But the truth is, we don't know. But it says here, seek the Lord while he may be found. If you go back to Genesis, you'll see where God says, my spirit shall not always strive with me. There are a lot of people who think they've got plenty of time. I got plenty of time. I'm young. I've got this and that. But when I was with in the juvenile jails, one of the things I would throw out at the kids is I'd say, okay, how many of you, and I'd have a room full, 25, 30, 40 sometimes, and I'd say, how many of you have somebody, either your friend or family, somebody about your same age, that was doing the same things you've been doing, and they either they were murdered, died of a car wreck, suicide, drug overdose. How many of you have somebody that has died doing that? Over half of those kids would raise a hand. And I would tell them, I'd say, why them and not you? Why are they dead and you're still alive? If they were doing the same things you are, God's been gracious to you. I want to tell you something. God's been gracious to you and I that we've been raised in a Christian nation. I know it's going the wrong way, way too fast, but most of us have had a lifetime of hearing the Bible.
Amen.
We've heard the truth. We've got the freedom to go to a church and hear the truth. And nobody, I didn't see anybody brought in with a shotgun to your back. Everybody came freely. But I'm glad I live in a free country. Oh yeah, it's going the wrong way fast, but hey, I've still got the freedom to speak what I want, the way God leads me. But you and I, we need to make sure that we realize how blessed we are. And it says, call upon him while he may be near. While he is near. And it says, let the righteous forsake his way. There are some people that believe what they call Calvinism. I do not believe that. That belief teaches that there are some people over here and they can't go to hell. They'll because God will eventually get them saved. There are a group over here and they can't go to heaven because it's God had foreordained them to go to hell. Now I believe that that is a hideous doctrine. Simply because right here it says, let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts. What was the verse 3? Remember it said, incline your ear and come unto me. How are you going to come to Jesus if it's foreordained that you go to hell? We passed a church right down the road here called Free Will Baptist Church. Free Will Baptist Church simply means that you believe, you don't believe that when somebody gets saved, they're saved forever. They can lose their salvation. I don't believe that. My Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He doesn't lose any sheep. I, like my friend said, I can't go to hell if I want to. Which I'd be crazy if I wanted to, you know. But the truth is, there are a lot of crazy doctrines out there, but I want to bring out some things here in verse 8 and 9. And it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. I want you to think about a guy named Gideon. He's hiding at night. He's threshing wheat. And he's doing it in the middle of the night. And the angel shows up and says, oh, thou man of valor. Gideon's looking around. Is somebody behind me? Because he doesn't see this. There's no way that he sees himself as a man of valor. But you know the story about Gideon. God used him in a mighty way. They defeated the numberless army of Midianites. And they didn't have the first weapon. They used what? A lantern and an empty pitcher over the lantern and a trumpet. That's not how I would have done that. Okay? That's my God, though. Hey, Gideon doesn't need all this. He said, I want to set out a fleece. And he did it twice. And then God said, I got a better idea. I did what you said about the fleece, but go down there and listen to the Midianite soldiers. And what he heard was amazing. They even knew his name. These are Midianites. They knew a little lowly guy named Gideon's name. God does not do things the way you want him to, or I want him to. His ways are perfect.
Amen.
Can you imagine the children of Israel at the Red Sea? Good grief. We can't go nowhere. Pharaoh's and his army's coming up behind. What are we going to do? Do you really think they thought God was going to part the Red Sea? I mean, really? Now, I want you to understand what your situation is and my situation. When we get into a crisis, we get into panic mode too sometimes. And we say, okay, Lord, this is a fine mess you got me into now. And the truth is, He's going to get us out. He's going to take care of us. If you belong to Him, He promises He'll never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
But don't expect Him to do it your way. Because He doesn't do things our way. His ways are what? Higher than our ways. And His thoughts higher than our thoughts. And what we want to understand is, there are times when we doubt God simply because we're in a crisis. We're in a situation. And I always use this illustration. When you're a coach, I used to coach baseball for my son's little league team for about 6 years. If I had a batter that came up to bat, and every time he came up to bat, he hit a home run. Here it is, bottom of the ninth. We're down 3 runs. Bases loaded, 2 outs. And what happened? I know who I'm going to call on. Jesus hits a home run every time. And I'm going to call on Him. But the bad thing is, too many times we wait till we're down. We wait till we're too far down, and then we start doubting, and there's a bigger problem, and we've got ripple effects because of that bigger problem, because we waited and didn't call on Him earlier. But I'm glad that my God doesn't do things my way. Can you imagine if your God, if our God was limited to what you could think or imagine? But my Bible says He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Think about that. Exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask and think. You can't guess what He can't do, because there's nothing He can't do. Here in this situation, we see where David, who would have guessed that God would have called a little shepherd boy to whip Goliath? But God can call you. He's got a work for each of us. He's got something special for us, and what we need to do is to remember. He designed us for a purpose. You say, "What? I don't know what it is." Keep looking. He'll tell you. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Joseph was in the dungeon. Who would have guessed that his next move would have been to vice Pharaoh? See, God does things like that that you and I can't imagine. Who would have guessed that the most wicked man persecuting the church and the Christians like the apostle, Saul of Tarsus, would become the great apostle Paul? Now I want you to think about the toughest situation you've got. God can handle anything and everything every person on the planet has at the same time and not break a sweat. Not hardly think about it. Everything comes so easy to Him. But we have a tendency to doubt. And that's the problem. Remember in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, I believe it is, that the Bible says that Jesus did not many mighty works in His own hometown because of their unbelief. You know, you and I sometimes are our own worst enemy because our doubt. Hey, like I said, Jesus hits a home run every time. Every time He comes up to bat, every time we call on Him, He's going to take care of the problem. Unless there's sin in our life that we haven't confessed. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, Psalm 66:18 says. But you and I know that we can straighten all that out.
by getting on our knees. I think about this particular passage because there are times in my life that I've doubted. Lord, this doesn't make sense. This absolutely doesn't make sense. For instance, when we left Kansas City, we knew that the Lord was calling us to come home, come to back to Polk County. The Lord was actually closing the door there. You say, why was he closing the door? He had a plan. He was putting it into place, and it had made absolutely no sense. It actually caused people to raise their eyebrows at us and doubt the fact that some of them, I believe, thought we were running from something. Now, I've never run from anything. But when God says go, last place you want to be is to stay. You don't want to stay, you want to go. But we were there in Kansas City, and we voted on the pastor, and he couldn't come. This was in February. He couldn't come until the end of March, or end of May. And the Lord was swinging the door open for us to leave in March. And I'm saying, I almost told the guy, oh, no, this isn't going to work because the Lord's opening the door for us to leave now. And I almost told him no. In fact, I did tell him no, and I reconsidered. And so what happened was, I just prayed about it and worked with the men in the church, and we called on a man to come in, and he drove all the way across the state of Missouri, 500 miles from St. Louis area over to Kansas City, and on Sundays, and he preached the Sunday morning service and Sunday night service, and some of the men in the church covered the Wednesday night service, and it worked out great. And what happened was, when we got back to Lakeland, I started calling. Some of you were here Wednesday night, and I mentioned that I called Brother Cham McMillan. And when I called Brother Cham, he said, he mentioned the church plant that had been in Bartow. And I said, tell me about that. And he told me a little bit and told me about the church that had started the church. And the process started. And the Lord opened the door for us to start the church here in Bartow before the pastor took over in Missouri. Now that's nuts. But I want to tell you something, that's God. He's got a plan. Don't second guess his plan. If you know for sure it's him, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they know me and follow me. We lost some support because people said that's just not the way it's done. Well, I'd rather lose their support than Jesus' support, amen? But I want you to understand, don't get caught up in this rational thing. Hey, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Because we get this mindset. Look at verse 26, actually 25, and it says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Why does he do that? Verse 29 tells us that no flesh should glory in
in his presence.
Why does God do things that way? So you know that it's not you. So I know that it's not me. That everybody knows it's him. He wants to get the glory. When we decide we're going to, oh, I'm going to brag on this or I'm going to do on that. Hey, I did this. Hey, it's not us. And we're going to get in trouble when we start bragging on ourselves.
Amen.
It's all him. It's amazing to me that he's called me back to Bartow, where I spent 26 years as a phosphate miner. And he's called me back to Bartow as a preacher, a church planter. Hey, that's God.
Amen.
I never saw it coming. But he's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And I qualify, amen? I'm just foolish enough to trust him. Rather than trust myself. And what I'm trying to get across tonight is the fact that too many times we doubt him. Too many times we see the situation that we're in as hopeless. And it's not hopeless if we let him in. If we give him permission. Why is it that we have to tell it to Jesus? When you tell it to Jesus, when you pray, you're giving him permission to intervene in your circumstance. That's what we're doing when we pray. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force his way in. He's going to do it when we ask him to. That's why the Bible says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You got to come to him. When you come to him, hey, you got it whipped. But if you don't come to him, you're going to get whipped. Because you're going to lose. You're going to lose blessings. You're going to lose. Your blood pressure's going up and your heart rate's going up and all kinds of medical issues and your bank account's going to go down. And all these kind of things. It's all about him. Why? Because his ways are not our ways. What we need to do is to learn to trust him. We say we trust him. The Bible says several times, the just shall live by faith. And that's the way we ought to do it. There are times we doubt. There are times that we struggle. But he is going to prevail in our situation if we let him. Just as long as what? He's not going to let any flesh glory. He wants to get the glory for what he does. You give him the credit. And it'll be amazing. I'll tell you, some of you weren't here when we did this, but the Wednesday night we voted to pursue this building back in August. I never saw it coming. Sharon will remember on Monday night, I looked at it just before I went to bed. I typed in church for sale in Bartow. That's what I typed. And this came up. Then on Tuesday night, she and I went and visited and came over to the building, met with the realtor here. Then on Wednesday night, I brought it to the church and I said, I'm not going to say we're going to be able to get this building. But what I do want us to vote on is to pursue it as far as the Lord will let us. And he never closed the door. He just swung one door right after another. I mean, for us to raise $24,000, we didn't have that kind of money. But people got excited putting an independent, fundamental, King James Bible-believing Baptist church in a kingdom hall. Yeah, I want to give to that. Hey, we had had an evangelist that came in, that comes in every December. And he came in, and guess what? He gave. Hey, people wanted to get involved, and it came out that we ended up with just what we needed. Got a bank loan. That was a big hurdle too. And here we are.
$319 less a month, paying for a mortgage instead of paying rent. How's God do that? He likes to show off. I don't like it when he just shows up. I like it when he shows off.
Amen.
And he sure did. And I want to tell you, that's what we need. Sometimes our doubts, our lack of faith, limits what he's going to do in our life because we don't get him involved. But I'm glad I've got a God. There's no limit to what he can do.
Amen.
Or will do. For you or for me. Why? Because his ways are higher than our ways. And his thoughts our thoughts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your many blessings. And Lord, the most important thing is for us to trust you. Even when we don't see the Red Sea parting, even though we don't see how you're going to answer. Lord, nobody saw a little shepherd boy coming up as the answer to their prayers with that big old giant. But he was. And Lord, I thank you that I serve a big God. And there's nothing too hard for our God. Lord, help us to trust you more. Help us to doubt you less. And help us to see and give you credit for the mighty things that you do. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.